Okay, today's F is Pei Bet. We're going to start at the mission at the bottom of Pei Aleph Amud Bet. Before we start, I just want to, we have a visitor today, and I wanted to just mention, if anybody else who's listening online and wants to come join, feel free. Okay, Mishnah starts. Hanitanim bifnim shenitaruvu banitanim b'chutz. Yishbechu la'ama. Okay, so we read this already yesterday, but let's just review so we get started. If you have blood that's supposed to be bifnim, and it gets mixed up with blood b'chutz, that means we have a chatan apnimi mixed up with a chatat from the chatat that goes on the mizbeach outside, the hechal yishbechu la'ama. Okay, it has to be spilled out. Natam b'chutz b'chazar v'natam bifnim, kasher. If you already did the blood outside and then you bring it inside, it's kasher. Bifnim v'chazar v'natam b'chutz, but if you already brought it inside and then you want to bring it outside, we learned yesterday based on the pasuk that says v'chol chatat asher yuva midama al ol moed l'chaper b'chodesh lo te'achel ba'esh tisaref. Okay, that means that any chatat whose blood went inside, okay, in order, now notice it says el ol moed l'chaper. We're going to try to get a little deeper into this later today. It sounds like you brought it inside specifically to do kapara. In this case, you did. You went to sprinkle the blood because you went to sprinkle the blood of the pnimi, but it was mixed with the chatat hachitzoni. And then you have to basically burn it. It's pasul. So Rabbi Akiva says this isn't just true for the chatat. It's true for all the other korbanot. The chachamim machshirim. Chachamim say no, it's actually okay for all the other korbanot. She Rabbi Akiva omer, kol adamim shenechnesu lechaper b'echal psulim. Rabbi Akiva applies this pasuk, later we're going to see how he does this, even though it says chatat, it's going to apply across the board to all other korbanot. The chachamim omrim chatat bilvad. Chachamim say this pasuk is only talking about the chatat. Comes Rabbi Lezer and he says, Rabbi Lezer omer, af ha'asham shnemar kachatat ka'asham. Since it says chatat, it really only means chatat, but since we have this pasuk that compares chatat and asham, we're going to say they're the same. Starts the Gemara. V'nif lognami Rabbi Lezer baha. Why doesn't the Mishnah tell us that Rabbi Lezer also disagrees with the first case in the Mishnah? The first case was, once they're nirt arvu, there's nothing you could do about it, you have to spill it down the drain. Right, the drain in the, right, not the drain that we normally think about it, but the specific drain in the Beit HaMikdash. So now they say, and it's in Rabbi Eliezer all along, and all the Mishnayot we've been seeing, Chachamim say Yishbechu La'ama, and Rabbi Eliezer always has a solution. So now they say, Hey Chiliyabi. So if you're going to say that Rabbi Eliezer says it's okay, how would you do it? Native Bachutz, Vahadar Native Lifnim. If you would say, let's first bring the blood outside and sprinkle it on the Mizbech outside, and then bring it inside, that would avoid the problem of the Chatat Chitzonidam being contaminated, you know, nifsal, not contaminated, but what would you call it? Disqualified. Being disqualified when you bring it inside, so here you resolve that issue. First you do it outside, then you bring it inside. But you can't do it that way because we learned that there's a hierarchy. Since the pnimi is more, so to speak, holy, that takes precedence over the chatat. Hachitzoni. What about the other option? Native lifnim bahadar native lachutz. Kevan. So now the issue is that according to Rabbi Lezer, and you have to remember what does Rabbi Lezer think? Rabbi Lezer thinks the chatat and asham, remember that was the last opinion of the Mishnah, can't be brought inside. However, when it comes to all the other sacrifices, shlamim, toda, ola, right? All those others are not going to be psulim. They won't be disqualified by bringing them inside. So why did Rabbi Lezer suggest that when it comes to, so forget about chatat and asham, but when it comes to shlamim, toda, and ola, Rabbi Lezer should have said in the Mishnah, bring them inside and then bring them outside. And that would have been kept to the hierarchy and it wouldn't be a problem. So why didn't he say that? So the answer is, Kevan di'ika chatat v'asham d'chi nichnas damam psulim. Since the chatat and the asham, if you would have done it with that, it would have been disqualified. Lo psikale. So he didn't want to make a broad statement in the Mishnah that only applied in certain cases. Okay? It's a weak answer because very often we see in the Mishnah, but medvarim amurim, in which cases this, it's only in this and that. But if it were that, it wouldn't. And in theory, they could have. But I guess what they want to say here is all these Mishnayot that we're learning, where we're seeing this machlok of Rabbi Lezer Chachamim, are general Mishnayot, and, you know, maybe that's why. Okay, it's a weak answer, but it's an answer the Gemara gives. Because it is strange that if Rabbi Elazar really disagrees, when it comes to the Shalom Tov and Ola, it really should have appeared in this Mishnah just like it appeared in all the other Mishnayot. It seems like there's a problem with the transmission of the Mishnayot, maybe, that somehow it got left off here. Maybe because it was too complicated to start saying all the details, and they wanted to keep these Mishnayot simple, so they just left it. Okay, now we're going to go into Rabbi Akiva, and again, the Gemara is a little odd here. It's going to give strange, I think, sort of strange mashal. Okay, it's going to compare this, where, and as we're going to try to figure out where does Rabbi Akiva get that the chatat really means all the other korbanot. Okay, to understand this, let me pass a different book. To understand this, we have to understand the psukim about the chatat pasuk. Okay, it comes up in Vayikra Vav, pasuk kaf gimel. And here it says, you have to get the context, okay? This is important. The context is, it starts off and it says in Pasuk Yud Chet, Daber al Aaron ve'al banav le'mor, zot Torah ha-chatat. B'mkom asher tishachet ha-olah tishachet ha-chatat. Remember that Pasuk? That's how we get that you're supposed to do the Shechita b'tzafon, because it's done in the same place as the Ola. So we know we're talking about chatat here. Then what happens? Then we get some more details about it. And then at the end, okay, it says a few things here. It says in the middle, okay, you're going to wonder why I'm telling you this, but you'll see later, because the Gemara is going to make reference to it, that if there's a kli cheres, asher tivushalbo yishaver, if you cooked the chatat meat in a kli cheres, you have to break it, because it can't be koshered. What's the issue? Why is it treif, so to speak, treif? Because what? Because once the... once you eat the chatat, or you have the chatat meat in it, and you eat it, what's left in the kli? The ta'am, or the, right, whatever kind of chatat got absorbed into the kli, and then what happens? When time passes, it's notar. And once it's notar, it's going to make that kli, it's going to be polet, right? It's going to spit out flavor of notar, which is going to contaminate anything you eat. So if it's a kli cheres and it can't be koshered, you have to break it. Ve'im b'kli nechoshet bushala, and if it was cooked in a kli nechoshet, umorach v'shutach b'mayim. You have to scour it and wash it with water. Okay, a bit of a debate. Are we talking about Hagala here? Are we talking about something else? But I'm going to leave that aside. But what's interesting about these psukim is that even though we're in the category of chatat, they're going to eventually say, and it's all the mefreshim agree that this halacha applies to all korbanot, okay? And then, so when, as we were at chatat, it seems like these in-between psukim are talking about everything. And then it says again, the last pasuk is, v'chol chatat asher yuvah midamah lo moed l'chaper b'chodesh lo te'echel v'esh sarev. So then all of a sudden it goes back to chatat. Now, in the beginning, we're going to pretend that we don't know anything about the middle stuff. It starts with chatat and it ends with chatat. So the question is going to be what? Why mention chatat again if we know we're in chatat? They could have just said, b'chol asher yuvah midamah. We're already in the context of chatat. So, Amar Rabbi Usaya, Shai Rabbi Akiva, Omer, so remember, Rabbi Akiva says this pasuk applies to all the korbanot. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, mashal lema davar domeh, l'talmid shemazag l'rabo b'chamin. It's talking about a student who mixed, right, remember, mazag is not pour the way we think in modern Hebrew. It means to mix your wine with water. So he mixed his rabbi, his, you know, here it doesn't necessarily mean rabbi, it could be his master, but let's just say rabbi, his rabbi's wine with chamin, with hot water. V'amar lo mizogli. Now again, there's a bit of a problem with the nusach. It seems that most of them are fresh to explain. And he said, pour me a cup of hot. No, not pour me, sorry. I said, mix me a drink with hot water. So now, remember, the student was already mixing him drinks with hot water, and now he specifically said, mix me another drink with hot water. Amar lo bameh. Okay, again, this is a very strange case, because why would he say, how do you want me to do it? And as he just told him, I want a bechamim. Amar lo, lo bechamim anu asukin. And that's, weren't we already dealing with chamim, mayim chamim? Achshav, bein bechamim, bein mitzonin. So obviously, when I said chamim, this isn't necessarily obvious, but what he's saying is, when I said chamim, I obviously didn't mean chamim, you were already doing chamim. What I meant is, even chamim. Okay, meaning you could do it any way you want. Okay, at this point, I'm not careful about it. So hachanami, here's our comparison. Now, it's a very strange comparison because the case is a weird case, and why, it doesn't seem, it's not the pshat. If you had heard the rabbi say, I want chamin, you would have assumed he meant really chamin. Mm-hmm. But he's trying to come up, this is a good example of, you see something and a teacher's typical way is to try to give another example, and they're trying to give some example, but the example doesn't make so much sense. Hachanami michti bechatat askinan. It's just like here. Weren't we dealing with chatat? Va'ate chatat dekata v'chmana lamali. So why did they need to say chatat in the last pasuk? Ela lav chatat ka'amina ela kol kodeshim. It must mean even chatat and obviously all the other korbanot. Okay, that's the way they explain Rabbi Akiva. So now, Rav Huna doesn't exactly like this comparison. Matkifla Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yoshua, and his issue is going to be because of the middle. Because in the middle, we already switch off and we go to all other kodeshim. So we're going to start chatat, go to all kodeshim, and then it's going to be obvious why we went back to chatat. And according to him, what's he going to say? Going back to chatat seems to mean exclusively chatat. So comes Rav Huna and he says, b'reid Rav Yoshua, michti itrabu kol kodeshim l'gabei mizbeach l'inya marika u'shtifa. Since we already know that all the other sacrifices are included in the middle pasuk about the merika u'shtifa, about the scouring and the rinsing, chata tekata v'chmana lamali. So then why does it go back and say chatat? Shmamina chatat im midyach rinan lo. It seems to imply only chatat and nothing else. V'halo damya, now he's going to say, if you're going to make this comparison, halo damya ela l'tamid shemazag l'rabo bein b'chamim bein b'tzonein. It sounds like a Talmid that prepared, here he's going to give his own example, according to the way the first person explained it, Rav Yehuda, he's now going to say, it sounds to me like a Talmid that was preparing drinks for his rabbi, both Tzonein and Chamim, both cold and hot, Amar Lo, and then the rabbi says, Al Timzog Li Ela Chamim. Okay, where specifically he says, I'm talking, now I only want Chamim. Ella, so now he's got to explain, so where does Rabbi Akiva get it from? So Ella, tamad Rabbi Akiva, mechatat bichol chatat. He gets it from the fact that the pasuk starts out and says, vichol chatat, and now he's going to darshan it. So now he's going to say it's not because of the way it's going. It would have sounded like chatat if it had just said chatat. But the fact that it says kol chatat comes to include all the other sacrifices. So where do we see this? There's a braita that says this, Ditanya, chatat, ein li ela chatat. If you had just had chatat, that would have implied just chatat. The fact that it says chatat in the pasuk, we know it means chatat. Kodshe kodshe minayin, how do we know that it includes other kodshe kodshim? Talmud lamar, kol chatat already includes even kodshe kodshim. Kodshim kalim minalan, where do we get that even kodshim kalim, right, like the toda and the shlamim? Talmud Lomar, Vichol Chatat. So now we're going to darshan Chatat, Kol, and Vichol. So because it says Vichol, that includes everything. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Now we're going to see in the same braita that we're quoting a different opinion. Amar lo Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Afilu atam rabeh kol hayom kulo, eini shomea lecha. You could keep darshaning more things all day long, okay? You could keep darshaning v'chol and add more korbanot and more things. Okay, it's just obviously making a little bit of a joke here, right? You could be darshaning all day long. I'm not going to accept what you say. Ella, this is the way I view it. Chatat, now we already know there's lots of types of chataot, right? There's all different sacrifices. There's chatat yachid, chatat zibur, right? So he's going to say like this. When it says chatat, ein li ela chatat yachid. They're going to assume the classic is an individual who, what does he do, right? He does something that b'mezid, b'chayev, karet. And if he does it b'shogeg, like eating chaylev, right, he's going to be chayav chatat. So a chatat yachid would be the thing that would be obviously implied. Why is it the most obvious? Because it's the most common. Whereas all the other ones are more rare. Like if the whole community makes a mistake, right, that's going to be a rare chatat zibur minayin. How do we know that a chatat zibur is included here also? That it's also going to be disqualified? Talmud lomar kol chatat. Ve'en li'ela chatat zachar. Now they're going to say, okay, so kol chatat includes chatat zibur. What about a chatat? If you remember, there's the chatat yachid is brought from a nekeva, and then there's other chataot that are brought with a zachar animal. So en liela chatat zachar, chatat nekeva minayin. So then we would say, well, maybe only male animals that are brought as a chatat. What about female animals? And it's a little odd because you would think it's already included in chatat yachid is brought with a female animal. So there's a bit of a thing here, but let's just assume like this. Talmud lomar v'chol chatat. So that comes to include also female animals. V'savar Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Okay, so now we're going to say, oh, sorry, one second. I read it wrong. I skipped a line. So then they say, Klapelaya, it should be the opposite. Which one would come first? Now, it's interesting. Why do you think they put Zachar first? Because in the Gemara terminology, Zachar always comes before Nekeva. But really, when it comes to a Chatat, the classic Chatat is a Nekeva. So wouldn't you think first we would include the Nekeva and then the Zachar? So then they say, no. So this is really what it meant. Read it the reverse. Elahachi kamar. Ainli elahachatat Nekeva. Chatat Zachar minayin tamul amar v'chol Chatat. Okay, so now they just reverse the order and say, oh, really, the Nekeva would be included first and then we move to the Zachar. Okay, now they're going to say, V'savar Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now, what did he say? He said that the Chol Chatat is coming to include all sorts of cases that if you brought the dam inside, it's going to be pasul. Remember, Rabbi Akiva used it to, the Chol Chatat, to include all other korbanot. Rabbi Yossi Aglili brought it to include all other chatat. But now we're going to learn something interesting. There's some people who think that this pasuk is referring to the way we understood it. We understood that to mean if you bring the chatat blood inside to try to sprinkle it on the mizbeach inside, it's now disqualified. But apparently, Rabbi Yossi Aglili doesn't learn it from that pasuk. He learns it from a different pasuk. Now, if you remember, there was this very weird occurrence that happened with the Seir of Rosh Chodesh after Nadav and Avihu died, and Moshe says to Aaron, why did you do it that way? Why did you burn it? You shouldn't have burned it. And there's a bit of a debate. We've had it. We've seen this figure before about what exactly is going on. And what Moshe says to him is, Hein lo huva dama el hakodesh pnima, achol tochluos habakodesh kasher tziviti. Why did you burn it? Behold, its blood wasn't brought into the Kodesh inside, and therefore, achol tochluot habakodesh, you should have eaten it bakodesh, like kasher tziviti, like I commanded you. What's implied from this pasuk? That if it had been brought into the Kodesh, then it would have had to have been burnt. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili is actually going to learn the halacha from there and not from this pasuk. So they're going to say, how could you start darshaning v'chol chatat when you think this pasuk, the v'chol chatat includes the chatat apnimi and the right, all the different chataot, sorry, the chatat atzibur and the chatat yachid and all those, when in fact you think that that pasuk is not referring to this halacha? V'sever Rabbi Yossi Aglili haikra lahachi yudata v'hatanya. Doesn't it say in a brighter Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer kol anyam kulo eno medaber ela v'parim anistrafim usirim anistrafim. Okay, now, what does this mean? This means that what is, and that's what I explained to you so far was the background, which is that he thinks the pasuk about Moshe and Aaron after Nadav and Avihu died, that pasuk is where we learn this halacha from, that you can't bring the dam inside, and if you do, it would have to be burned. So what does he do with our pasuk? V'chol chatat asher yuvah midama al ol moed l'chaper b'kodesh, Lo Techel Ba'esh Yisaref, he explains, is talking about the Chata'ot HaPnimiyot. Remember the Parim HaNisrafim and the Sirim HaNisrafim? It's the Par Elim Devashol Tzibor and the Par Kohen HaMashiach and the Par Yom HaKippurim. What do you do with the meat, remember? You take the meat outside of the three machanot and you burn it. You don't eat it. You have to burn the meat, but you have to burn it outside the Kodesh. So what's it telling you here? What if you have Parim HaNisrafim or Sirim HaNisrafim that became pasul, they became disqualified. So what do we do with them then? In other words, if they're not disqualified and they were done correctly, then you burn it outside at the Beit HaDeshen, which is outside both the three machanot, outside Yerushalayim entirely. But if they were psulim, then you burn them at Beit HaBirah. Beit HaBirah is just another way of saying the Beit HaMikdash. You burn it in the Beit HaMikdash and the Kodesh. So you have to read the pasuk a little differently. You have to read b'chol chatat, which now means chatat pnimi, that was disqualified. Okay, it doesn't say that in the pasuk, but that's what he assumes. Asher yuvah midama al ol moed l'chaper b'kodesh, which means it was brought but became disqualified. Now you have to read it a little differently. Ba'esh tisarei lo techel. It has to be burned. But now, why do I have to put the Be'esh Yisaref earlier? Because you want the Be'esh Yisaref to be next to the word Bakodesh. L'chaper Bakodesh, Be'esh Yisaref. In other words, Be'esh Yisaref Bakodesh. As opposed to, normally the meat is burned outside Yerushalayim, these have to be burned in the Beit HaMikdash Bakodesh. Okay, that's how he explains that pasuk, which means, how could he be darshaning b'chol chatat and all that to be talking about this psul of bringing it into the Mikdash, it becomes pasul, of bringing it into the Michal, when that wasn't what he thought. So the answer is going to be, and then what's the pasuk telling you according to this? Lamo belo taseh lechilato, and it's coming to teach you there's a lo taseh for eating meat that was disqualified. You know, it has to be burned. If you didn't, and you ate it, you'd be over on a low tase. So amru lo, chatat shenichnas dama lefanai velefnim minayin. Amar lo, hein lo huva. Okay, so now where does he learn? According to him, we already know this because I told you. According, they said to him, if you're going to say that pasuk is talking about burning these things outside, so chatat shenichnas dama lefanai velefnim, where are you going to learn that from? And he says to them, hein lo huva. Okay, so that's the whole brayta they brought it from Yosef Lili. The question is, if that's the case, why does he darshan this v'chol chatat when it's not the topic? So very simply, they say, l'dvarav de Rabbi Akiva kamar. They were just retorting to Rabbi Akiva. They were saying, Rabbi Akiva, if you think v'chol is darshan this way to include all karbonot, I'll tell you, no, you can darshan it otherwise. But not that I agree with you about it. I don't think that pasuk is talking about it at all. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
I don't think Rabbi Akiva proves his point. I mean,
v'chol chatat. Why is that not a proof? And it's a proof in the world
why
of drashot.
Why does it mean it's all korbanot? It says chatat.
Yes.
I mean, it's very straightforward.
Yes, it is a very...
chatat, then he goes on yes. to prove that it's the male, the female, all the different...
Again, things. This is classic of world of drashot. In other words, he had it, he knew it, he had a masoret about it probably, and he's trying to connect it to a pasuk. And comes from Yosef Lili, and he's basically saying... what kind of, exactly what Sherry said, what kind of drasha is that? I could darshan that anyway. I can darshan it to include all sorts of chata'ot. That's not a good proof, and that's basically what Rabbi Yosef, according to this, that really is what Rabbi Yosef Glili is saying, because Rabbi Yosef Glili doesn't think that that's really what it is. He's only saying to him, what kind of a drasha is this? Exactly what you're saying. So, right, you could say he's right. This whole Gemara is quite odd, because they're clearly struggling with trying to understand Rabbi Akiva. They tried to bring a mashal, but their mashal was totally off base, right? It gets disproven. They're obviously struggling to understand the shita because it's clearly not in the text.
It's chatat.
Yeah, exactly. It says chatat, and it seems to mean chatat. So his opinion is out there, right? Harder to understand. And the only thing you could probably say is he had some sort of masoret, and now he just has to connect it to the psukim, which is weaker, right? Either we tried to bring a mashal, maybe that would explain it. It didn't work. So then we went to the world of drashot. Okay, new Mishnah. Chatat shekibel dama b'shnei kosot. Okay, here we're going to use our props. Okay, we have a chatat. Okay, I have here the map of the mikdash. If you're at home, you can try to take something to visualize it. It's a little easier. I have two kosot, okay? I have the two kosot from one sacrifice. Okay, so instead of before, we had all the bloods mixed up in one, two animals, one cup. Now we have two cups with one animal's blood.
But why?
Maybe there was a lot of blood. You don't need to, but let's say you did. If you had it
no,
in two kosot.
No,
no, no. Chatat shekibel dama b'shtei kosot. Yatza achad mehem lachutz. Okay, so now you have the blood in the area of the Azara, the Azra Israel, and then, or the Azra Kohanim. And then one of the cups goes out. Okay, now what happens if it goes out? It's called... Yotze, right? It's pasul. What happens to the cup that's still inside? Once one goes out, what about the cup inside? So the cup inside, hapnimi kasher, it's still okay because only the one that went outside is contaminated. In other words, we no longer view these as being connected. Nichnas achad mehem lifnim, what if, we just learned the chatat dam, can't go bifnim. If it goes bifnim, it disqualifies it. So now we're going to have a machloket. If one cup went bifnim, Rabbi Yosi Aglili machshir bachitzon, Rabbi Yosi Aglili said the one that's in the Azara still is okay. Bechachamim poslim. Bechachamim say no. Why? Because the pasuk says, Bechol chatat asher yuva midama el olmoed. The subject is the chatat, whose blood, some of the blood went in, right? So therefore, he's going to say, whichever blood is still out is now connected to that blood and it's contaminated. This is going to lead us, it's going to sound like the beginning of the Masechet where we had a million kavachomers and all that. It's going to lead us to all sorts of kavachomers that are going to try to knock out each opinion. Amar Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Ma'im, so Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, no way, it's definitely kasher. Why is it kasher? Because if the first case is kasher, then obviously the second case is going to be kasher. Why? This goes back to the laws of pigul. When is something pigul? When you have a machshava, let's say you're standing in the Azara, you do your shchita. While you're doing your shchita, you have a machshava that you're going to sprinkle the blood outside the mikdash, right? Chutz limkomo. Also chutz lizmano, but we're only going to deal with chutz limkomo today. Remember, you don't get karet for this, but it is pigul. So chutz limkomo is considered what? Outside the azara. Chutz limkomo is not in the hechal. Right? If you have a machshava that I'm going to take this chata blood and I'm going to sprinkle it on the inner mizbeach, which you're not allowed to do, that's not pigul. Pigul is only outside the azara, not outside, not inside the hechal. Even though you're not allowed to.
So all it does is invalidate it.
Right. Exactly. It does. It's not called pigul. Okay? So now, ma'im bimkom shemachshava poselet b'chutz, right? In the case, which we're now going to say is more chamor, where the machshava, if it's outside, the machshava is poselet b'chutz, right? If you have a machshava of chutz limkomo b'chutz, and yet, lo asata mishuyar ki yotze, and yet what's left inside is not considered contaminated, okay, or disqualified, I should say. Makom she'ena machshava poselet, bifnim, right? A machshava of doing it in the hechal doesn't be called pigul, it doesn't disqualify it. And it's only forbidden, let me just make it clear. It's only forbidden if you actually took the dam and brought it inside the hechal, but not if you thought, I'm going to sprinkle in the hechal. That doesn't disqualify anything. A machshava of that doesn't do anything. So if the machshava doesn't disqualify it, ein odin shalona seta mishuyar kinichnas, okay, wouldn't we then say that we're not going to make the mishuyar, what's left, the shirayim, right? No, it's not the shirayim as before, but the cup that's outside, we're certainly not going to make that as if it went inside. Okay, you follow the logic there? If outside, yotze, is a more chamor psul, and yet what's left over, what's left inside is not going to be disqualified, then for sure inside shouldn't disqualify the what's left out, what's left in the azara. Okay, so that's his argument. Nichnas, now we have another case, and then the Gemara is going to all go back to that first case. Nichnas lechaper. Let's say you go into the, you bring your blood. Okay, now we're not talking about two cups. Now somebody takes his chata blood, he walks into the hechal. Okay, but af al pisha lo kiper, even though he didn't actually put the blood on the mizbeach, pasul, divrei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says just walking into the hechal disqualifies it. Rabbi Shimon omer ad shechaper. Rabbi Shimon says it's not disqualified by just walking into the hechal, since it says, you have to actually do the sprinkling of the blood inside in order to disqualify it. If you just brought the... Now, that matches our last Mishnah. What was our last Mishnah? It was all cases where he went in, he had a mixture of the bloods, and he went in and he put it on the mizbeach because he wanted to be yotze the pnimi, and then it disqualified it for the chitzoni. But if you just went in according to Rabbi Shimon, that wouldn't be a problem. Even though Rabbi Lezer thinks it is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, there's a separate halacha, im hichnis shogeg kasher. If you accidentally brought it in, then it's okay. It's only if you brought it in intentionally. Kol adamim psulim shenatnu al gabei hamizbeach. Now we have another halacha. Any blood that was disqualified, and yet you put it on the mizbeach anyway, lo hirtze, you do not get atonement for it. Remember the tzitz, right? Lo hirtze hatzitz, sorry. Lo hirtze hatzitz, ela ala tameh. Shatzitz meratze ala tameh, veino meratze ala yotze. Anything disqualified, it's interesting, the Mishnah brings the case of yotze here, but it really means any kind of disqualified blood that you bring on the mizbeach. Remember that the coins wearing the tzitz, where it says Kodesh LaHashem, it says the Yukevavke, it's supposed to be miratzeh, right, to provide atonement for things that aren't right. But they're saying that tzitz is only miratzeh on tuma and not on anything else. So if you brought contaminated blood, disqualified blood that wasn't allowed to be brought, the tzitz is not going to help you. Only if it was tameh, or the person was tameh, the blood was tameh, then the tzitz will be miratzeh, and then you've been yotzeh your korban. Okay? In the other cases, you'd have to bring a new korban. Okay, now we're getting back to that first case of the two cups. Okay, we're going to have a lot of Kavachomer is back and forth. Tanya. We're going to have a braita, which starts off very much like our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yossi Aglili Kavachomer. Uma b'makom shamachshava posele b'chutz. Right? When? Right? B'chutz. Remember Yotze. If it's Yotze, and what do we know? That's classic case of Pigul, and therefore it's Chamor, and yet lo pasal dam shebachutz et shebifnim. right? And the dam that's outside the mikdash is not going to contaminate what's inside, the cup that's inside. Therefore, makom she'em achshava poselet b'fnim, right, which is if you brought it into the heichal, there's no machshava problem there. There's no pigul. Therefore, ein odin shelo yifsol dam she'b'fnim et she'b'chutz. Okay, that's what we had in our mission. Amar le, so here comes the retort of the other opinion. Okay, of the Tanakama, I guess, right? It's nobody in nobody's name. Amar le, harehu omer, asher yuvat midama, afilu miktsatama. So here you see, that's where I said before. Since it says any chatat that from its blood went into the echal, it's disqualified. And that's what he's saying is, you're right logically, but the pasuk indicates otherwise, so I'm overriding it. Amar lahem, so he says to them, Kal v'chomer li yotze me'ata. According to what you're saying then, let's make a kal v'chomer to yotze then. And let's say what we know is not to be true. Uma bimkom she'em machshava posel b'fnim. This is basically flipping the kal v'chomer the other way. If you want to say that b'fnim is not going to posel the other blood, right? So im mamkom she'em machshava, I'm sorry. According to Chachamim, right, it's posel. The blood, when you bring it inside, because of the pasuk, asher yuvam midama, so therefore, the orange cup over there, right, that's sitting in the azara is going to be disqualified if you brought from the pink cup inside. So now, they're going to say like this. Rabbi Yosef Glili says like this. If ein machshava posel b'fnim and yet posel dam shebifnim et shebachutz, in the case where you have a very kaldin, right, and this isn't pigul, if you have a machshava about going inside, and yet when you bring the dam inside, it's going to contaminate the outside blood. Then, makom she machshava posela b'chutz, in a case where there is pigul, right, outside, yotze, ein odin she'yifsol dam she'b'chutz et she'b'fnim. So if you took this pink cup outside, wouldn't it obviously then contaminate the orange cup? So, amrulo, arehu omer, again, they're going to say, you're right, logically speaking. But, right, and that, by the way, everyone agreed that it didn't. So what he's basically saying, you know, there's a problem in the logic here. So amrulo, harehu omer, asher yuva, hanichnas posel ve'ena yotze posel. It says, any asher yuva, yuva means you bring it in, and not you bring it out. Okay? Okay. Now they say, okay, second question. Rabbi Yosef Glili again. Now this is a question on Chachamim's opinion. Right, this isn't anymore Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Okay, that was the end of the Braita. This is according to the way most of the Mefreshim understand. That's the end of the Braita. But now the Gemara is going to continue with questions on Chachamim. Okay, they're going to say like this. V'teher machshava b'fnim poselet mikal v'chomer. We should say that a machshav, in other words, now why don't we say that because of this kal v'chomer, if already we say that b'fnim is going to be chamor in terms of this issue, then why more chamor than yotze? And yotze, if you have a pigul machshava about yotze, it's pigul. So why don't you say that if you have a pigul machshava that you think I'm going to pour the blood bifnim, that should also make a pigul. They're now going to say, logic would state the pigul would apply also to thinking I'm going to sprinkle the blood inside. So v'tehe machshava bifnim poselet mikal v'chomer, right? We should have the wrong, if you're having the machshava that I'm going to sprinkle the blood inside the heichal, that should disqualify it. How so? It's all the same logic. Ma bimkom shelo pasal dam shebachutz et shebifnim, right? In the case where the dam, if you took it outside the azara, the inside blood wouldn't be contaminated. And yet, machshava poselet b'chutz, right? And yet, there's pigul in that case. So, makom shepasal dam shebifnim dam shebachutz. If you brought it into the echal, it is going to mess up the blood that's in the azara. So, all the more so, ein odin shetei machshava poselet b'fnim. Doesn't that show that the pnim is a more chamor case? Therefore, we should make pigul also apply to a machshava that I'm going to sprinkle the blood inside.
It would have been a lot easier for them to apply altigrava altosif and not have two cups altogether.
And just say don't have two cups. Yeah, but there's no halacha that has to be in one cup. Right. But again, what are they really getting at here? They're getting at what are the chumrot of the, like, is it worse? And I think what's interesting about this, they're trying to view, right, it's this, the pnimi is very holy, right? And the outside is not holy at all. So now you have this case where it's supposed to be in the middle place, in the azara, and you're going to have a problem if you go one way and you have a problem if you go the other way. And they're trying to balance here, what's worse? Is it worse to take it to a holier place because you're not allowed to put something that's not the holiness that's right? And that's holy, it's like the Nadav and Avihu. They brought an Esh Zarah. And that's holiness is the way God described holiness or the way, there's a way about it. On the other hand, you also can't take something that's holy, of the in-between holy, and take it outside. So what's worse? Is it worse to take it outside entirely to a place that's not Kodesh at all? Or is it worse to take it to a very holy place, which is reserved for only particular things?
No, and then if you take it outside where it's not holy at all, they're saying that the one that's up inside it, is it ruined even? That's what's really...
Right, and then the question is, how connected are these, once you have one animal and blood in two places, how connected are they? Right? So that's also what's going on here. In other words, do we view if you contaminate part, does the whole thing become contaminated or not? It's like the opposite of tarovet, right? It's the exact flip. Tarovet is we take two things and we mix them together. Here we're taking one thing and we're splitting it. So it's really like the reverse. Okay, so now what's their answer? Why is it not pigul when logic would state that it should be pigul? If you had a machshava, I'm going to sprinkle the blood inside. Harehu omer, with pigul, bayom ha-shlishi. We're going to now have a drasha we learned already. How did they darshan this pasuk, the words bayom ha-shlishi? That was the pigul pasuk, if you remember. I'll read it to you just in case you don't remember. Ve'im ha'achel ye'achel mi'besar zevach shlamav bayom ha-shlishi. Lo yeratzeh makriv oto, lo yechashev lo pigul yiyev, ha-nefesh ochelet mimenu avonat tisa. We learned, if you remember, we learned at the beginning is ha'achol yechal zevach shlama bayom ha-shlishi is chutz lizmano, because it's bayom ha-shlishi, and the end of it, pigul yiyev, is adding chutz limkomo. And that's why chutz limkomo is added, but it also doesn't have kariyot. We had a whole thing there, why doesn't it have kariyot? Anyway, another drasha they had on that pasuk is because it says bayom ha-shlishi, it has to be about a location that's mishulash from shlishi. Mishulash, what does that mean? Mishulash bedam bebasar beimurim. It has to be a place that you can both bring blood on the mizbeach there. And you have to think, it's a place where it can have blood, meat, and imurim can be burned there. And the inner mizbeach is not relevant for that. It only relates to korbanot that have to be done on the mizbeach hachitzoni. That's basically what they're saying. So pigul doesn't apply to a machshava about doing it, you know, in the inner place, in the inner mizbech. Next question. V'lo tehe machshevet poselet b'chutz mikal v'chomer. So then why don't you say, if there's no pigul machshava about bifnim, maybe there shouldn't be a, and bifnim is more chamor, maybe there shouldn't be a pigul machshava v'chutz limkomo, which would basically eliminate the entire halakha of chutz limkomo, which in theory could be okay, because really pigul is chutz lizmano, and say there is no pigul chutz limkomo. Okay, obviously we're going to now, whether they're going to answer, they're going to answer the pigul yiyeh, and that pasuk is coming to include chutz limkomo. But logic would state that we wouldn't have a pigul, there wouldn't be any such thing as pigul chutz limkomo. Because ma b'makom shepasal dam shebifnim et shebachutz, right? If we're going to say the dam that you brought inside the echal is going to mess up the other half of the dam that's left outside in the azara, ein machshava poselet bifnim, and yet there's no pigul machshava about bringing it inside. So makom shelo pasal odam shebachutz et shebifnim, ein odin shelo yei posel machshava bachutz. So a place where if you bring it outside the mikdah, outside the azarah, you're not going to have an issue of the dam that's inside. So maybe also we shouldn't have a pigul problem with that either, about thinking about doing it there. Talmud lamar, shlishi chutz lizmano, pigul chutz limkomo. Again, that pasuk, it said, bayava yom shlishi includes, teaches us chutz lizmano, and the word pigul yiyeh at the end of the pasuk comes to teach us chutz limkomo. Now, another question. The pasuk we saw until now about bringing the blood inside the hechal was all about blood. It says, chol chatat asher yuvam midama el omoed. What about if you bring basar chatat into the heichal? Is that going to mess you up? Basar hayotze lachutz pasul. Hanichnas lifnim kasher. We know that if you take meat, assume this is meat, you take the meat outside the azara, that's called psul yotze. It's disqualified. What if you take the meat and you put it inside the heichal? Is that going to contaminate disqualify the meat? So, hanichnas lifanim kasher. Okay, why is that? Shehei badin shepasul. You might have thought it should be disqualified because again, uma b'makom shelo pasal dam shebachutz et shebifnim basar yotze lachutz pasul. Right, in the case that's more kal about yotze, because why is it more kal? Because whatever's left inside will still be okay, and yet We're going to, and the meat is disqualified. So makom shepasal dam shebifnim et shebachutz, in the inner place where you're going to mess up the blood, right? Hanichnas bifnim, right? That's mess. Basar hanichnas bifnim ein odin sheyipsol. Right. So wouldn't we assume then that meat should also be disqualified if it goes inside?
Are we talking about this meat or just this one meat?
Now we're just talking about meat, not like a piece of meat that was cut in half. Okay. Now we're just talking about meat in general. There's no other cup. We're just talking about a piece of chatat meat that we're going to a different topic. It's all related. The logic is related. But the topic is, since the pasuk your chatat by bringing it inside the echal was talking about dam, would it also apply to meat? And what do they say? Well, logic would state it would. Because if yotze is more kal in terms of the din of the extra blood, you know, the blood that's left there, and yet meat that goes out is disqualified, wouldn't you think the meat that goes into the echal is disqualified? So now they say, no, that wouldn't be the case because harehu omer mi dama. Dama v'lo basar. It says from its dam. It's very clear in the pasuk. It's only dam and not meat. Kavachomer me'ata. So then we should make another kavachomer. Uma b'makom shepa. I hope you're not totally dizzy from all these kavachomers. At least the logic of them is all the same. Uma b'makom shepasal dam shebifnim et shebachutz. Basar nechnas lefnim kasher. So now let's do it the flip. If you're going to say that the hechal, which is more chamor, and yet the meat is not pasul, only the dam, so why don't you say what? Right? Makom shelo pasal dam shebachutz et shebifnim, basar yosei lachutz, eino din shekasher. So why are you going to say then that meat is disqualified by taking it outside? Maybe there is no such thing as a psul yotze. So now they're going to say, what do you mean? The pasuk says so. Now it's not so clear that the pasuk says so. Okay, it's a drasha on this pasuk. Harehu omer, ubasar besadeh trefa lo tochelu. What are they darsh in that pasuk? This pasuk sounds like saying, if you find meat in a field that was attacked by an animal, you can't eat it. Okay? However, what are they darsh in? What's a sadeh? What typifies a sadeh? There's no boundaries. There's no, right? It's outside. It's, right? There's no, so they're going to say, bas sadeh means it's meat that you took outside. You can't eat. Okay? It's so they learn from here. Basar b'sadeh trevah lo tochelu. Kevan sheyatza basar chutz l'mchitzato ne'esar. Okay? So there's a drasha in this pasuk which teaches that halacha, and therefore you can't say logically it's not the case. Okay. That's kind of the end of those.
It was stuck by cup, also just mean an animal that wasn't slaughtered properly.
Right. What it sounds like the pshat is, if you find a piece of meat in the field that was attacked by another animal, which means it wasn't slaughtered properly, it means the same thing. I mean, whether it was attacked by another animal or died on its own or any thing like that. But that's what it sounds like. The pshat is, if you walk into the field and there's some animal that was, you know, killed by another animal, you can't eat it. But the drasha is that it means psul yotze. Okay, now, we're going to talk about a different part of that pasuk. It says, v'cho chatat asher yuva. Oh no, it's not this pasuk, sorry. It's the other pasuk about Moshe and Aaron and that debate. Okay? It said, Hein lo huvat ama ala kodesh pnima. Okay, now it says ala kodesh pnima. Why does it say ala kodesh pnima? Both things seem to mean the same thing, right? Ala kodesh pnima. What does it sound like to you, ala kodesh pnima? Ala kodesh is the hechal. Pnima is kodesh kodeshim. So now they're going to say, pnima, tanu rabbanan. Okay, it's a bright time. Pnima, ein li ala pnima. Sounds like they're only talking about if you bring it into Kodesh Kodeshim. Hechal minai, and how do we know that if you bring it even just into the Hechal, it's Pasul? Tamud lamar, ela Kodesh Pnima. Okay? Because it says, ela Kodesh Pnima, that includes also the Hechal. So now they say, v'yomar Kodesh val yomar Pnima. If you wanted to say, obviously, once you bring it into the Hechal, it's Pasul. Well, how do you get to the Kodesh Kodeshim? At least at this point, what do we assume? The only way to get there is through the Hechal. Soon we'll see, maybe there's another way. But right now we're going to assume that. So which means, right, it could have just said Kodesh. It didn't need to say Pnima. Amarava, ba zeh v'limeid al zeh. The fact, in other words, you wouldn't have necessarily known which, if it just said Kodesh, maybe it means Kodesh Kodeshim. The fact that it says Ela Kodesh Pnima, and there's two terms, teaches you that one is inside and one is all the way inside. Okay? So now, that he's going to say, just like midi dehave atoshav esachir, just like it comes up in this other pasuk about truma, where it says that you can't eat truma, a toshav of a kohen or a sachir of a kohen can't eat truma, okay, which means an eved ivri. But what's toshav and sachir? Detanya, toshav zekanoi kinyan olam. A toshav is someone who is an eved nirtza. He got his ear pierced and he stays there forever until the yovel year. Sachir ze kanoi kinyan shanim. Sachir is someone who's there for 6 years. Yomar toshav al yomar sachir. So why don't you just say one and not the other? Vani omer. Right? If you just said toshav, which is kinyan olam, you would have said, if who would you think more likely can eat the truma? Someone who's there forever, not someone who's there temporarily. So ani omer, kanoi kinyan olam, in ochel, kanoi kinyan shanim lo kol shakem. Right? Wouldn't it be obvious then a kanoi shanim? Therefore, ilu kan ayiti omer, so now they say no, because if that was the case, if it just had toshav ayiti omer, toshav ze kanoi kinyan shanim, you might have thought toshav meant only the 6 years. Aval kanoi kinyan olam, yehei ochel, you might have mistakenly thought that a kanoi kinyan olam would be ochel, and therefore, bas sachir really made al toshav, sheze kanoi kinyan olam, veze kanoi kinyan shanim. So the fact that it says toshav and sachir, it teaches you it includes both. So that's what he says, it's just like our case. Ve'en ochel, ve'en ochel. Okay. Amar le Abaye, wait a minute, Abaye says, Bishlama hatam, you're comparing apples and oranges. There's two different types of people. There's trei gufeninu. There's a kanoi kinyan shanim and a kanoi kinyan olam. Ba'af agav dehavi le'lekra le'michtav nirtza, lo yochal, v'idach ate b'kal v'chomer, and even though you really could have just written nirtza and it would have been clear, and the other one we could have learned from a kal v'chomer, that's because milta da'ate b'kal v'chomer tarach v'katav lekra. We have a concept that even something that you could learn out of kal v'chomer, sometimes the pasuk spells it out anyway. Elahacha, but in our case, kevan de'ifsal behechal, lefanai v'lefnim my bay. Once it's nifsal behechal, we're talking about one, right? You're walking into the echal. Of course it's going to be nifsal kodesh kodeshim. You can only get to the kodesh kodeshim derech the echal. Right? Lefanai v'lefnim my bay. In other words, it would be irrelevant to even mention it. So therefore, elam rabaye, Abaye says, I disagree with you that we got both terms to teach. It's both. That's not why it's there. Elam rabaye, lo nitzrucha ela lederech mishupash. He says it's to teach you that if you somehow could get to the Kodesh Kodeshim through the roof and get in, and without actually going through the Heichal, you found some secret trap door and you could get in there, it would be posel it also. That's why he says it says it. Okay. So Amar Le Rava, we'll just go on a drop more. Veha Hava'aktive, but doesn't it say Asher Yuval Dama Yuva? Sounds like not that you dropped down through some trap door, Ella, you walked through. Okay. So therefore, El Amar Rava, Kol midi dechashev alai lifnai velifnim lo mifsal behechal. He says it's coming to teach you that you could have a case of, if you wanted to bring it into Kodesh Kodeshim, and you didn't want to bring it into the Heichal, and as you wanted to sprinkle the blood in the Kodesh Kodeshim, then you wouldn't be posel by walking into the Heichal. Okay, this goes back to, we saw, do you actually have to put the blood on? Even if you don't have to put the blood on, but if your intent wasn't to do anything in the Heichal, your intent was to sprinkle the blood in the Kodesh Kodeshim, you would only disqualify it by going into the Kodesh Kodeshim. Okay, that just by walking through the Heichal, it wouldn't possible it. Okay, and here.